Our Lord said, love your neighbors as yourself. And also said in Matthew 7, so in everything, do to others what you have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. There are no Christians who haven't heard of this commandment. All Christians know it, but they respond to this call in three different ways. The first response is to ignore it, thinking that they are either too busy or their own lives are too difficult to serve others, or they consider following it when their situation improves. The second response is to obey the commandment and make diligent efforts. Although they sometimes see good fruits, they often encounter negative reactions from those they serve, or experience growing tensions, which leads to a big stress or make them question whether they can continue. The third response is to continue serving others despite occasional challenges, witnessing God working in the lives of those they serve, and often experiencing the fruits of the Holy Spirit as they humbly allow God to work through them in obedience. Which of these three responses describes your case? We all live busy lives. Why is God still calling us to serve others? Why do our efforts often result in outcomes different from our expectations? How does God want us to serve others? This morning we are going to conclude our sermon series, Guided by the Spirit, which began 6 weeks ago. And our final theme that we will reflect on is true service to others. But instead of talking about the specifics of how to serve others, I will focus on the underlying principles that are crucial for serving others. Today's scripture passage is Acts 15, 1 to 11. Through this story, we can find good answers to our important questions about serving others. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria. They told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, the apostles, and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Last Sunday, I mentioned two opposite directions of two different communities. The sinful direction of exclusion and division of the world, and the godly direction of inclusion and unity of God's community. I'd like to remind you of them for a moment because it is closely related to today's theme, the true service to others. Sin creates all the barriers between people and grows hostility toward different groups based on gender, ethnicity, social class, beliefs, convictions, or political and social stances. This world constantly divides people based on worldly standards, causing conflict, distrust, and pain. It is the sinful direction of exclusion and division that the world has been following and continues to head towards. After Jesus broke down all the hostile worlds that sin had created, the Lord unites all different groups of people, regardless of who they are, as one body in Him. It is the godly direction of inclusion and unity that our Lord is leading His church towards. God's arms to embrace all people still continue to extend to the rest of the world. The heavenly church revealed in Revelation 7 is the complete picture of His church community for all people. And God will continue to lead us in that direction until He returns. But there was a crucial moment in early church history in terms of that godly direction to embrace all people. In the first church, the majority of believers were Jewish people who came from diverse cultural and linguistic backgrounds. Despite their diversity, they continued to observe their Jewish religious practices and traditions while also following the teachings of Jesus as their Messiah. They had lived with the law for more than 1,000 years, and it was their entire world in their view. As the gospel spread beyond Jewish communities, Gentiles began to convert to Christianity, bringing with them different cultural practices and backgrounds. Because of this, one central question arose within the church community. Should Gentiles be required to follow Jewish customs and laws, specifically the law of Moses, to be true Christian? Some Jewish Christians believe that Gentiles who wanted to become Christians should observe the entire law of Moses, which included practices like circumcision, dietary laws, and other ceremonial and ritualistic observances. They strongly believed that the adherence to these practices was necessary for righteousness and acceptance by God. But Gentiles coming to faith in Jesus did not have the same cultural and religious backgrounds as Jews. So some Jewish Christians thought that these Gentiles should first convert to Judaism by adapting Jewish customs and practices before fully participating in the Christian community. This perspective posed a significant challenge as the early church expanded beyond the Jewish community into the broader world. The Council of Jerusalem addressed this issue. The apostles and elders discussed whether Gentile converts needed to adhere to the law of Moses to be considered true Christians. Ultimately, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they decided against imposing the full weight of Jewish customs on Gentile believers, reassuring that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ and His grace, rather than through adherence to the law. This decision marked a pivotal moment in early Christian history, affirming the inclusion and unity of the gospel message and paving the way for the church's expansion throughout the world. Let's imagine, what if the early Jewish Christians had decided that Gentiles must keep the Mosaic law to become Christians, ignoring the spiritual leading within their limited perspective? It would have had significant implications for the expansion of God's kingdom. The Mosaic law was given by God specifically to the people of Israel. It was a crucial part of God's covenant with the ancient Israelite, encompassing laws, commandments, and rituals that were meant to set them apart as a holy nation. It was from the Lord, but it represented only a portion of God's entire revelation. It was intended for a specific time, people, and purpose, while the principle of His word stands forever. In essence, the law was shadow of the things to come, pointing toward the ultimate fulfillment found in Jesus Christ. That is why we don't keep them to become Christian today. If the early church had decided that Gentile converts must fully adhere to the law to become Christians, this requirement would have posed significant barriers for Gentiles. The law was deeply rooted in Jewish identity and practice, but it is not for others. Imposing these customs on Gentile believers would have created an obstacle to their acceptance and integration into the Christian community. This could also have discouraged Gentiles from embracing the faith, seeing it an additional burden rather than a message of grace and freedom in Jesus Christ. As a result, the spread of the gospel to the world would have been severely hindered. The simplicity and accessibility of the message of grace through faith in Jesus Christ would have been overshadowed by the complexity of Mosaic law. Ultimately, the growth and expansion of God's kingdom would have been stifled. The church might have failed to serve people in the world and remain the small Jewish group today, separated from the world. If this had happened, will not be Christians today. Of course, God is not limited by human abilities or choices. God could have worked through other groups or nations. You know what I'm saying? Today, many Christians face similar challenges or impose similar challenges on others. Some denominations and churches hold tightly to their beliefs and traditions, sometimes placing unnecessary burdens on those seeking or following Jesus. Hebrews 12. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Learning about God, growing mature spiritually, and being transformed into the image of Christ is a lifelong process led by the Lord, not by any other Christians, churches, or denominations. The Jewish people had lived under the law for more than 1,000 years, and they couldn't see beyond their own boundaries. It was their entire world in their views, in their lives. The law was good for them, and they believed it would benefit the Gentiles too and honor the Lord. But we know that's not the case. God is leading others to understand His word in His ways that they can better grasp it within their own context. While Jewish beliefs and traditions held meaningful value for them, what they knew was not the entire truth, but a part of the whole truth. Only the word of the Lord is the absolute truth. No single Christian, church, or denomination can fully know or comprehend the entire truth. Each of us knows the truth only partially through our limited perspective. Ephesians 1:22-23. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the only truth. He is the control center of the body. He has authority over each part of the body. Each part is called to cooperate to achieve what the head directs. No part has control over other parts. We need to ensure that no limited human understandings or convictions overshadow the core message of the gospel, that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. The essence of serving others is introducing Jesus, pointing them to Him, and inviting them to the eternal journey with the Lord. There is nothing more important or of higher priority for people than this, because all they truly need, all we truly need, is the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul was a Jew, and He confessed that he had a great burden in his heart for his own people. But the Lord wanted them to serve, wanted him to serve the Gentiles. In order to obey and live out God's call, he needed to meet the Gentiles. He developed the relationships with them and shared the gospel. He had to reach out to everyone, regardless of who they are. We are going to learn key wisdom from Paul about how to serve others. 1 Corinthians 9. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under God's Christ law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. To serve others, firstly, we need to set aside our rights. This is possible only when we have a true motive, loving the Lord and others. Paul said he was free from all men, but made himself a servant of all men. He completely submitted himself to the Lord. Christ is always a perfect example for us because he loves God and people perfectly. He set aside his right as God to came down to earth in human flesh, to connect and live with us, to die in our place. He lived as we live, hurt as we hurt, and was tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. But this invitation is offensive to human pride and contradicts human sinful nature. People do not like giving up their right. They tend to look to their own interest first. But it is not hard to give up something for those we love. If you feel challenged in setting aside your right to serve others, that means you do not love. If we do not love, we begin to check if others do as much as I do. If we do not love, we wait until others move first. If we do not love, learning about others becomes like an extra task. If we do not love, every step we take for others is challenging, and we feel uncomfortable. Jesus did first, and Paul followed. We should always check how we feel about what we are doing and submit to the Lord. We should diligently pray that the Lord will continue to fill our hearts with His Spirit and let us grow deeper in love with others. Secondly, we should humbly listen, understand, and serve others from where they are. Paul said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people. This doesn't mean that Paul was behaving in an inconsistent manner, that he compromised with the world in order to fit in, or that he kept changing his identity. Rather, he was willing to set aside his own traditions, customs, preferences, lifestyles, convictions, or familiar comfort to develop meaningful relationships with them. He knew how to talk and behave with Jewish people. And he also knew how to communicate and interact with people when he was Gentiles. He was flexible and adapted his approach in order to get next to them and to win them over to Christ. That means Paul had time to listen, understand, and learn about them first to truly serve them by sharing the love of Christ. Paul didn't force them to listen to him, to think like him, or to do as he said. He had time to listen with an open mind and understand them. It must have been like a heart-to-heart talk. When they were truly understood, their heart would be softened, and the relationship would begin to grow. Paul served others for God's glory wherever he was. He said, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel and that I may share in its blessings. His heart was filled with love for the Lord and people by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. Each one of us is church. The Lord is calling us to become all things to all people around us so that he may reach out to them, reveal himself, transform them, and continue to expand his kingdom for the glory of God. Would you respond to his call now and live for his glory? Let us pray. Lord, you loved us first and called us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And yet we confess that we often fall short in responding to this call. Forgive us, Lord. You are the head of the church. Let us always submit ourselves to you and look to you. Teach us to set aside our own rights and preferences for the sake of serving others, just as Paul became all things to all people. In all that we do, may our lives reflect your love and grace, and our neighbors may come to know you and experience the transforming power of your Spirit. Let us always seek to bring glory to your name in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.